to share with you a story of the Heilige. There was this the Heilige Bedichva. The Heilige Bedichva. I'm not Chassidish by all accounts. Yeah, just to get the Heilige Bedichva. He was the famous that he was always the Melamed Choson Klal Yisrael. He's always Melamed Choson Klal Yisrael. Do you know about the Heilige Bedichva? He was one of the early Chassidic masters, and he always made sure that we see the beauty of Klal Yisrael. That was his agenda, to always see the beauty of Yidden, the beauty of Klal Yisrael. The Bedichva Rav, he was famous for always seeing the good in the Yidden. So the story goes that once on Erev Pesach, it was in the years that there was a complication between Poland and Turkey. There was a war going on, and it was on all levels. I'm not quite sure exactly historically and exactly where that fits, but it was a lot of tension, and there was no import and export into Poland where he lived from Turkey, there was no import and export at all going in and out. And one of the black market very much was for tobacco. Tobacco was one of the items that came from Turkey, was the best tobacco, but it was the import and the export. It wouldn't allow any into Poland. Nothing was permitted at all. So Heilige Bedichva, just a couple of days before Pesach, he said it was Erev Pesach Mamash. He said that he asked his chassidim. He said, "I need to have some tobacco. I can't go into Pesach without any tobacco." He said, "Tobacco, but now you can't. There's no way you can have tobacco now. The import is completely stalled. You can't. There's no way." He said, "No, I can't go into Pesach without it. You have to make a kiyas yamsuf. I don't care, but you have to get me some tobacco. I can't go." So it was a very strange request, because in the best of the days, the rabbi to request tobacco was a strange thing, but now for sure. To go into Pesach for tobacco, that was like the strangest thing. Now there was this import and export was completely stalled. There was no way they could. But he said, "No, it's not." They came back. They said, the Chassidim spread around town. They came back a few hours later. He said, "No, it's not impossible to find. I'm not going to Pesach. I'm not starting. Nothing is happening. Drop anything and everything to get me tobacco." They came back. They went back out and they searched. A few hours later, they came back and they said, "You know what? We actually found in the black market for a fortune. We managed to actually get some black market. You know, it hasn't changed. We managed to get some tobacco. And they gave it like all. It was police and police people and all around in the streets. But they managed somehow under the jacket, they managed to give him some tobacco, a few grams of tobacco, and he said, "Okay, fine, thank you very much." And he said, "Actually, I'd like some wool." Now, wool was even worse. Wool was one of those items that was completely, anybody would found to bring some from wool from Turkey, Turkish wool, anybody would bring that was even worse, but it would be straight sent into jail. That was like the worst. And he said, "I'm not going into Pesach without having any Turkish wool. I need to have Turkish wool." He said, "I'm not going to Pesach without Turkish wool." He said, "But there's no way we're going to find it." He said, "I'm not going to Pesach." And they finally got the message. They searched and they searched. They came back a few hours later. "We can't find it." He said, "No, I'm not taking no as an answer. Search until you find." A few hours later, of course, they managed to somehow bribe and get, and somehow they managed to find some Turkish wool, which they presented to the British Rav, all in a mystery and an enigma. What is going on over here? Why is he requesting some? Why does he want some Turkish wool after requesting some tobacco? It's a strange thing, but he got it, and he said, "Okay, fine, thank you very much." And after he received those items, he was mamash close to Pesach, and then he said, "Rabbi Sai, okay, now I want you to find me some. I want a bit of chometz, a bit of fresh chometz. I want." And he said, "Chometz now? I don't know how you're gonna." Chometz now, there's no way we're going to find, there's no way. He said, "No, I'm not taking it as an answer. You go and search chometz." And they went out, but of course, in an air of Pesach, in Yiddish house, there's no way you're going to find chometz. They searched and they searched, they came back, and "No, we can't find chometz. I'm not taking it as an answer. You go and search chometz." And they searched and they searched, but of course, they will not find any chometz in Yiddish house. And after these hours of search, the whole thing came back, and Bidurichov said, "You really, really can't find?" He said, "No, we can't find." So the Heilige Bidurichov, so the story goes, was we told Baranovitz, Bichov spread his hands to Shemaim, and he said, "Ribono shel Olam, look, the police and the government, they forbid to have any import from Turkey. They forbid it. And they're putting police out there, there's army out there, there's very strong punishments, and there's very strong systems in place that no import should take place from Turkey. But after all, look, some can be found. Some can be found over here. We got some wool, we got some tobacco. Despite all odds, and it somehow we managed to, somehow he can be found. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you Hashem, you said no chomet should be found on Pesach. He didn't put any police, he didn't put any army, no, nothing besides your word, Hashem, that you said that no chomet should be seen in your houses over Pesach. You just said those words. There's no prisons out there, there's no police out there, there's nothing, there's no dogs roaming trying to, just your word, Hashem, did the job. There's not one grain of chometz in any Yiddish houses. Look, Hashem, how precious your Yidna. Look, Hashem, how precious your Kinderlecha. This is one of the story of the Heilige B'dit Shema. Yeah. Must say, at this point, there's still plenty of chometz in my house. But hopefully by then it will be. Yeah, okay. We are still up to Hilchas. We started yesterday Hilchas Kiyas B'Shemoyne Esah. It's very, very interesting. We're going to be carrying on defining exactly the way a person should bow down in the Shemoneh Esah, starting from Simon Kuf Yud Gimel on page 280, in Seif Vav, and we'll move on and we'll hopefully reach Simon Kuf Yud Dalet, which, what an incident indeed, is going to be touching on Pesach. So it's interesting. We're going to be talking about Pesach in the next Simon, so we'll be touching on that as well. Mitz Hashem, about the Bakosha of Mashiv Ruach Umeri Dagoshem. We'll be speaking about that shortly, Mitz Hashem. But let us reach first by describing and defining exactly the way a person should bow down by Moedim, or in fact by other brachas. Sivov. Kshu Korea, when a person's bow down. Sivov, bottom of page 280. Kshu Korea, when a person's is Mishtachavei Ki Korea for in Shemoneh Esrei, Yicha Bemehirus, he should do it swiftly, Bepam Achas, in one go. But when you straighten yourself up again, zoykev benachas, do it slowly. First your head, ve'achakuf, and afterwards your body. Shloite olof, that it shouldn't look kemasui as if it's a heavy load on you. So the Mishnah Berurah the Shulchan Aruch says in Mishnah Berurah Tzivkot Yud Beis describes it a bit better, and he says as follows in Yud Beis, that's two lines from the bottom. Kshoyim Baruch, when he say Baruch Yichra Bibirkov, your knees should be bent. So you should be doing, when he say Baruch, should be doing the bending of the knees only, whilst the back is still straight. Vukshoyim Ato, and when he say the word Ato Yishcha Alchis. That's when you do what we described earlier about the back of all the entire spine being bent. When it comes to moedim, when it comes to moedim, there isn't that bending of the knee element. You just go straight down. And you should keep in that position ad Hashem until you say the name of Hashem, and then you should straighten yourself up. So we're learning now, Mishnah Berurah describes, very importantly, what is the right procedure? What is the right way of bending down by Baruch HaTo Hashem throughout Shemoneh Esah? And the way is, you keep your back straight when you say Baruch, but you bend your knees only. So it will look pretty much like that, Baruch, whilst your knees are bent, but your back is still straight. Baruch, you just bent down your knees. When it comes to the word Ato, you then do what we described yesterday, of having your spine all the way going down. Baruch Ato, you do like this. And then when it comes to going up again, Mishnah Berurah describes, it should be b'meiras, but you should do it with your head first. So it will pretty much look like this, that Baruch Ato, and then you put your head first and going up like this. This is the correct way of doing it. That you should straighten up by having your head first. It's a bit like a nochosh, they explain, a bit like a snake that does it in that way. And that's the correct way of bending down. So again, by Baruch, you keep your back straight, only your knees are bent. You then go by the word Ato, you go down, as described, yes, you go down with all the spine being bent, and then you go up again. By the time you say the word of Hashem, you should go up again, and you should do that with your head going first, and you should be completely straight when you say the word of Hashem. So it would be Baruch Ato, and then Hashem. That's what the Mishnah Berurah describes, the way it should be done, and the word of Hashem should be straight. When it comes to Moedim, the Mishnah Berurah just told us, you don't do the bending down of the knees, of course, you will just go straight away, and you'll do that, as Mishnah Berurah says, you'll do that, and then again you put your head up first, where you go up with your head first again here as well. That's what Mishnah Berurah says. And the Mishnah Berurah Tzivkot Yud Gimel explains, why is it so important that when we say the name of Hashem, you should have a straight back? Mishnah Berurah Yud Gimel says, the last words of the page, Tzivkot Yud Gimel, Zoykev B'Shem, Tekziv Hashem, Zoykev Kefufim, because it says Hashem is the one who makes our backs straight, And therefore, since Zoi Keif, Kufufing, straighten our backs, it would be inappropriate to have a bent back when we say Hashem's name. Does that make sense? Since Hashem is the one who straightens our backs, so therefore, when we say the name of Hashem, we're ensured to have a straight back. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Good. Okay. Good. Okay. The Shulchan Aruch continues. Yeah, we just described that. That's mamash the way we described it. Siv Ches. Hamispalel. Very interesting halacha, Rabbi Isai. Hamispalel, somebody who davens. Uvor kenegdoi akum. Okay, he's davening innocently. He's just davening nicely, Shmones. And what happens is, uvor kenegdoi akum, there's a goy who suddenly comes up. And he has in his hands. Now, literally what it means is that there's a picture of an Avodas Kechovim in his hand. I assume that it's not literally talking about a picture of an Avodas Kechovim. I assume that it's probably also or mainly referring to a Tzelem. That's right. A Tzelem. What's called? A Tzelem? Pardon?
Idol.
No, not an idol. A tzelem is a cross. Thank you very much. Yeah. I think it would be if there would be somebody would be holding a tzelem, or a tzelem that we avodas kechovim as well. If it's any avodas zora item, that's probably what the Shulchan is referring to as well. But it's also talking about a tzelem. Very much you're right. When in sometimes they have it walking around their necks. So this is very much what the Shulchan is describing. You're in the middle of Shmuel Esser, and suddenly there's a person coming in front of you, who has got a tmunas avodas kechovim beyodoy in his hands. It's undoubtedly not only if it's in his hands, it would be anywhere which is, blatant. Uvegia lemakim sheshoichim boy, and now he's davening Shmoneh Esrei, and suddenly reaches now a point to amen a ban down, such as moedim, such as any part of Shmoneh Esrei ban down. Uvegia lemakim sheshoichim boy. Now, lo yishche, don't bow down. Afal pi, although shilibur Hashemayim. So your heart should be going towards Hashem, but don't do the action of bending down. Why is that?
Because it appears as if you are doing it to
absolutely, because
idol rather than Hashem.
Absolutely, absolutely. It would look as if you have, as Mishnah Berurah explains, in Sivkot and Tezvot, mipnei shenire kemishtacha vel avodes kichovim, because he would look like a person would be mishtacha vel avodes kichovim. A person would be mishtacha vel avodes kichovim. Who look as somebody is davening? I mean, mishtacha is bending down to avodes kichovim. Therefore, it's completely also. I remember hearing a shaila asked the shaila. In fact, the shaila was in a person who was in the holidays in a place. And for some, I don't remember the details, a number of years ago, but he was in some sort of, he was in a faraway place. And in the holiday place, there was attached onto the wall a tzelem. A tzelem to attach the wall. And he wanted to know as to whether that was the room that he intended to daven, or even benching, but primarily davening. Can he daven? And he was facing Noch, he was facing Mizrach. Now, rather stuck. What should he do?
So, can't he cover it with something?
Right, okay. So ideally, he should take it off. It wasn't possible. Don't remember the details. For some reason, it wasn't possible. Covering would be very good. But the truth is, if everything fails, and he can't take it off, cover it up, it's going to be there. The halacha is, you can't daven there. You can't daven it because nirek mishtachave. I mean, bending down is for sure. So probably even more than that. If it's a static thing, it's not something that the Shulchan Aruch is talking about a person. But if it's something which is static, the halacha is very severe. It's a problem. Find yourself another place to daven. Yeah.
Are you allowed to bend your knees?
Yeah, not davening. You mean?
No, just
we're not sure. If it's just a borch. I'm not sure about that. I don't know. I would imagine that it's actually also because it's also part of the kia. It's part of the kia. I imagine it's also. Good question. Yeah.
Facing a different way.
Yeah, much more makel. But Yes, there's definitely more leniencies if you face another direction. Yeah.
Can I ask, if there's, let's say, a place of worship, let's say 100 meters away through the window, would that be okay if it's not done in the direction?
That wouldn't be a problem. If it's that, it is nothing, like there's no window or wall or anything.
See, straight ahead, there's no spire.
Yeah. Mm, that's interesting. Yeah. If there's a place of worship right opposite you, it's a good shaila. I imagine if there's a separation, then it's going to be okay. So if you close the windows or anything like that, it would probably be okay. But it's a good haora. Okay. Continues the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Tes. Elo Yisif al Ta'orav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person may not add to the titles of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoisa more than Hokeil, HaGodol, HaGibor, VeHaNoiro. These were the words that Chachamim instituted. Hokeil, HaGodol, HaGibor, VeHaNoiro. These are the words that the sages instituted. This is the words of Chachamim. Don't add to that. You can't add. Because once you add, we all know, sometimes when you start adding things, you lose it. Do you know what I mean? When you add more, sometimes it loses its...
More is less.
Yeah, more is less. That's right. Absolutely. So that's very much... Chachamim said those words. The Hashem is... If you add, it's going to sound a bit lousy. Don't add. That's what Chachamim said. That's what they established. Leave it like this. This is only with regards to tefillah. You're not allowed to change. This is the words that Chachamim instituted. When it comes to tachnunim or other tefillahs, if a person has got his own tefillahs, his own bakoshes, his own heart speaking to Hashem, there less than, but there's no issue. So if you want to speak to Hashem, your private individual tefillah, you're allowed to do that. But however it is proper, somebody who wishes to add praises to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it is proper, although it's permitted to add in your own personal bakoshes and praise of Hashem. Nevertheless, if you wish to do so, it is proper, shem oisim b'psukim, that it's proper that it's included and it's included in psukim. So say it by saying psukim rather than your own tefillah. Now, I just want to add over here that the ma'aseh is well known that many tzaddikim, that when they literally spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, many stories about heilige tzaddikim and gdolim, that they spoke to HaKadosh Baruch, whether it's the Manchon Shiva or others, how they spoke Hashem, they spoke Shefa, they spoke to Rebbeinu Shloim, in the middle of Shemini Esrei, how they spoke. And Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about this. He said it's only for tzaddikim to do that. We can't really do that. Why did tzaddikim do that, and how they do it, why they do it, and how that works, it remains a little bit of a question. But Lemaise, if it comes to the middle of Shemini Esrei, we can't really add any words that is beyond the Takon of Chachomim. Yes, there are certain places that one can add various tefillahs, such as the famous tefillah of the Heilige Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish wrote tefillah that any parent should say about the Talmid, or children growing to Talmid Chomim, a special beautiful tefillah of the Chazon Ish. So you can add that. You can add it in various places. But generally, if you want to add your own nuschos, and it's really generally you should only do that if you shouldn't be really doing that if it's the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. But this is what the Shulchan Aruch says of here, and we're moving on at Sim Kuf Yud Dalet. Dinas Kor Zeruach VeGeshev VeTal. Maschilim Loima. This is time-related additions. This Sim of Shulchan Aruch tells us and teaches us about time-related additions in the Shmoneh Esrei. Of course, starting with Maschivoch Mu Degoshem. Says the Shulchan Aruch. Maschilim Loima Bevoch Shniya. We say in the second bracha, Maschiv Ruach, who moirit Hageshem, or Hagoshem, depending on your nusach, betfilas Musaf, we start saying it in the tefillah of Musaf, shel Yom Tov Achren, shel Chag. On the last day of Yom Tov, we add the tefillah of Maschiv Ruach mit Hagoshem, ve'ein poiskim, we do not stop, we don't discontinue, we keep on saying it, ad tefillas Musaf, until Musaf, Shal Yom Tavarish and Shal Pesach. We keep saying it until Pesach. So we say Maschiv Ruach Mit Hagoshem throughout the entire winter until the first day of Pesach. Why is it that we say it in the Bracha Shniya? Why is it that we say it in Tchiyas HaMeisim? Mishneh Berurah in Sifkot Aleph explains, Mipnei Sheyesh Po Tchiyas HaMeisim. Because there is an element of Tchiyas HaMeisim, of making dead alive. V'akshomim Heim Chayim La'olam K'tchiyas HaMeisim. Rain is really equals life. Without rain, there is no life. We don't feel it directly so much anymore nowadays. But certainly in previous generations, there was no rain, there was no food, there was no life. There was no rain, there was no drink, there was no life. So therefore, it's of incredible importance. Tchiyas HaMeisim, it's the best place to include the Baruch of Mashiv Aruch Umid HaGoshem. And that's why it's there. Now, Mishneh Berurah Sifkot Beis explains why it's actually put, why do we actually say it then? But we leave that Efshe for tomorrow, Mitz Hashem. Just to recap what we covered tonight. We learned a little bit about, we carried on learning the right way of bending down for Boruch Ato Hashem. We described exactly the way it's being done. Boruch, bending down the knees, Ato going down, Ke'egmoy with the spine being bent, and then Ato, you go afterwards up with your head first. When you say the name of Hashem, it's straight. We learned also that if there is a person coming in front of you with a tzelem or any tmunas, a picture of Yodis Kechovim in his hand, or anywhere really, then you cannot bend down at all. You should just make sure you continue davening, but make sure you don't daven into that direction. We also learned that a person is not meant to add anything to the description of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's considered Hokeil, Agodol, Agibov, Anoira. Don't add anything in the Tefillah, in Shemoneh Esrei. If you want to add anything outside, beyond Shemoneh Esrei, you're allowed to do so. We then started learning about time-related additions in Shemoneh Esrei. We learned about Mashiv Aruch Umid HaGoshem. We described that we say throughout the entire winter until first day of Pesach. And we learned that the reason is why it's included in the Mashiv Aruch Umid HaGoshem is included in Mechah HaMeisim is because the close connection between life and rain. And yes, we'll continue in greater detail these halachas in tomorrow's Shir Im Yetzer Hashem.